We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And this morning, the treat of hearing J.R. Radcliffe's voice from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Hey, buddy. How are you?
I'm all right, buddy. How are you?
Good. I've just been promoting you as, I don't know, I was talking to J.R. last night, and then I said, you want to come on the show? He goes, yeah, but I want to give Hulu recommendations. And just before the break, I said, honestly, you know, normally we're like, what will the Packers do at secondary? Well, Rob Reichel will tell you next. And then this time I just said, I don't know. I'm just going to talk to JR. So if you want to listen, that'd be great. That was my promotion for you. How are you? You said good already? Fine.
Yes, a rousing recommendation for hearing my voice. But Hulu is legit. I don't know what happened. Somewhere along the way, that service became very, very valuable to me. The content has been fantastic in the last few months.
Do you pay for the non-ad-supported way?
I do not. I go with the ads. It's fine.
Oh, no. There's more ads on Hulu than a real TV channel.
Oh, well, that's not true. Just maybe it's not like a ton less, but it's fine. I live with it. I have to get up and, you know, get another drink, Bart. So you understand that there's breaks in the action.
I understand that very well last night when I was chatting with you, if you couldn't tell. on Hulu right now, we are watching, if we're talking Hulu, I am watching Friday Night Lights. I've never seen it. It's very good.
Wow, okay.
And then the Palm Springs movie, you gotta watch if you haven't already.
Probably my favorite thing so far. Well, I don't know. I was really into Tiger King there for a minute. But I really, total revelation that Palm Springs movie, because I'm not a big Andy Samberg. I'm not a big slapstick comedy guy, but that's not what's happening in this movie. He's just... He actually kind of plays almost a straight character. It's a Groundhog Day, a riff on Groundhog Day, which is kind of its own like genre of movie at this point. But it is so good, and I love what they did with it. And it's kind of uplifting and just funny and interesting. It definitely had me. I was not expecting to find that movie or like that movie, but I definitely did, and it seems to be getting some universal acclaim. So people should certainly check that out if they're looking for just a quick hour and 45 minutes. You know, experience here. It's a strong recommendation from J.R. Radcliffe.
Would you time travel if you could?
Oh man, there's so many ramifications of that. I don't know. That's the thing.
Because there's let me give you my theory. Because there's moments in life where I would like to time travel back to, but to like redo. Like, oh, I'd like to redo that soccer game, or I'd like to stand up that bully in fourth grade. But then if you went back and did that. Like, I'd still want to end up married to my wife and then have my kid. So then I would have to, like, so if I went back in time, let's say I went back, I think about this. Let's say I went back in time and all of a sudden I was 18 and reliving my senior year of high school. Because everybody wants to do that. Now that you're smarter and wiser, you know, you wish you could redo that and be how you are now in high school. It'd be completely different. But then I'd be like, well, I didn't meet my wife until I was 25. So do I like speed up that process or do I wait until I meet her normally? That's what I think about as I'm falling asleep.
Yeah. I find myself saying this a lot when I'm talking about where I went to school. I always tell people if I had to do it over again, I would have gone to a different college just because it wasn't probably the right place for my major or the right environment necessarily for what I ultimately ended up wanting to do. But I wouldn't have met my wife. I wouldn't have met a ton of friends that I have today And, like, I don't know, maybe life would be completely would suck. I have no idea, you know? Like, those 4 years, they're long gone and done with, and things worked out for me okay, I think. So it's complicated. It's one of those be careful what you wish for situations, I guess. I don't know. Should Twitter get an edit button? It's the same concept. I don't know. We probably shouldn't undo the past to some degree.
Talking time travel with J.R. Radcliffe because there are no sports.
There are no sports. I would time travel ahead to when COVID is over, and then we can watch sports again. I'm ready to be done with the next 6 months of my life. So
6 months? 6 months? Okay. I'll take 6 months.
Yeah.
Over under, when do things go back to quote unquote normal? I'm gonna say the 31st of February.
Yeah. I guess it depends what you think of as normal, because I think this is always gonna be to some degree in the back of our minds, certainly for the next several years. And you know, I presume and hope that there will be ways to treat the virus and a vaccine, of course, and different treatments that really mitigate it. But, like, they're going to be people who are at risk or people who are just concerned about getting sick for a long time, you know, in major gatherings. I don't think we'll ever completely weed it out.
I wonder, I think that it'll be over when I can go to a ball game where it's a packed stadium and I go up to get a hot dog and a beer and I come back and I sit in the middle of the aisle and I just, like, bump through everybody and sit back down and not give any thought. Or then I can, like, tap on the guy next to me and be like, hey, dude, remember COVID? But I think that's going to be, like, so long from now.
Yeah, or you can high-five the strangers around you when there's a big home run or something. Yeah, I agree with that. It's almost like I find this with raising children. There's sort of this, like, the time period where you woke up in the middle of the night because your kid would wake up in the middle of the night, and there comes a time it's like, when is this going to be over? And it lasts for so long that you forget that you even care when it's going to be over. You just sort of accept it's your life now. And then one day you wake up and realize, wow, I've slept through the night for, like, 6 straight weeks, and it's because that time period ended. But you weren't even thinking about it. That's how I view this. At some point, it's going to change and be over with, and we won't even really have appreciated that, because it's not going to be the flip of a switch, you know. It's just going to be something that we naturally evolve toward over a long period of time, which is so unsatisfying. You just want it to be like, you just want to be able to wake up on a Monday and be like, okay, this is the week we go back to sports and go back to being in crowds, groups of 100 or more, concerts and things. And it's just not going to be like that. It's going to be such a gradual sort of greater acceptance of risk as we go along, and then at some point, you know, at some point the risk won't be there. But I sure couldn't tell you. It sure doesn't look like that's coming within the next couple of years.
Before I get into the other stuff I want to talk to you about, a quick aside about being dads. Your kids are older than me. How old are your kids?
They are 6 and 8 years old. I don't recommend having a 6 and an 8-year-old.
Okay, they're older than my kid, I mean to say. My kid's going to be a year soon. And this happened to me last night. I want to know if this is like a dad thing or if this is a Bart problem. And I need to...
It's a Bart problem.
I was trying to, so I'm trying to put the pajamas on my kid last night, and he's like wiggling all over the place. Okay, he's in that little phase. But I had to call in my wife to do the pants because the way I was sitting, my back, I couldn't physically do it. That's not a normal dad thing. Is that me being unhealthy?
My frustration with pajamas is that if your child has just come out of a bath or a, you know, shower or whatever, it is physically impossible to get any sort of clothing on that wriggly child when, you know, there's that added, I don't know, what is that, friction or adherence? I'm not sure what the terminology would be for the stickiness that your skin gets when you have just come out of a bath. It's so hard. Yes, there were times where I honestly just gave up and, like, to those, like, you know, single piece jammy sets, I would just forget it. I'll find a pair of shorts to throw on this kid or something else. So I don't think that's just a Bart problem necessarily. I just forget. I don't even remember dressing my kids when they were 1 and 2 years old. There's so much brain damage from being awake and being stressed that I honestly don't even remember trying to put clothes on those kids. But I imagine that's something every father endures.
This is a new segment called Killing Time with J.R. Radcliffe.
Who better to kill it with, though, Bart? I'm a very engaging personality.
Nah, that's why I have you on. You know what? You know, we're in such a weird time, like, with sports, where okay, so for the last couple of years, there's been this hashtag stick to sports thing. And, you know, it can be done. But this time, ever since, you know, league shut down, it's been tough these last couple of months because there's people that, like, they're desperate for optimism. Well, I am too. But
right.
there's like, the NBA is going to play at Disney for 3 months, and that might be a mistake. But this is where we're at because sports were shut down because of this virus. Well, don't talk about the virus. Don't talk about the biggest sports story of our time, that all sports shut down. Okay. All right, fine. I won't talk about the virus. Let's see. What else is going on? Let's check the sports calendar. Hey, NASCAR races. Nobody cares. UFC fight. Nobody cares. Soccer. Nobody cares. All right. Let's see. There's athletes speaking about social justice. Stick to sports. Okay. There's gotta be a sports story that is not controversial. Oh, here's one. The Washington Redskins are changing their name. So it's like there's no outlet anymore. Everything is sports, but everything's also not sports.
We probably should have known this with the Colin Kaepernick story that there, you just can't avoid the intersections of you know, greater social stories and sports, and that's always going to be the case. And you know, when people say stick to sports, they're saying don't kill my buzz on the escapism I get from sports. And in a way, I even understand that point of view. Like, please keep it separate.
Oh, I get it,
like,
too, for sure.
But you know, we're at a place where, like you said, you can't extricate those two things. You can't anymore because, like you said, the virus is the biggest sports story. It is the biggest sports story of our lifetimes. There is nothing that has impacted this many different, I mean, right down to high school sports, obviously, college sports. Every sport under the sun is impacted by this in every corner of the globe. So it is the biggest sports story of our lifetime. The problem is there's just no new news. There's nothing new to say about it. There's conflicting reports about how to go about dealing with it, wear a mask or, you know, open the economy. All these things conflict and different, you know, experts have different opinions on how to do it. So we're kind of just all holding our breath until the sports we truly care about are back. And I feel that too. Like, I'm not into NASCAR. I'm not into UFC, and I'm not into intra-squad baseball. I want to watch Major League Baseball. And as much as I'm looking forward to it, there's two things kind of holding me back from excitement over the season starting here, hopefully on July 24th. But I feel like the season probably isn't going to come to an end. I hope I'm wrong, but you know, it seems unlikely that any sport can play for that long and not have major problems. And then on top of it, at some point it is going to feel not inauthentic, but wrong. Like, no fans in the stands, no, you know, that tailgating experience, all those things, they don't matter to me right now because I just want to see sports. I just want to see baseball on my TV. And for 3, 4, 5 games, that's going to be awesome. And then at some point, the sort of dread rolls in, the fact that it's so different, no fans, you can't really have this like collective experience that sort of defines what sports are. You know, I just wonder at the end of 60 games if it's going to be like, okay, that was cool, but now it's over and it wasn't really that fun to begin with because it was so different. And maybe I'm wrong about that too, but you know, there's just a sense of dread over everything, which makes it, you know, do people even want to talk about sports right now? Because they have to. Everything has to have a caveat. It's like, oh, what are the Packers going to do in their secondary? Are the Packers going to play a season? Like, everything feels like you have to put an asterisk or caveat next to everything, and that makes it even harder to talk about.
Yeah, I talked to a guy about fantasy football today. There's not going to be a...
No. College football has, like, zero chance of happening. I mean, you just try to imagine the scenarios of what it's going to take for college football to happen at all. You know, all these college kids, hundreds of kids on a team, mixing together, full contact, it seems almost impossible. And yet, you know, of course people are going to talk about college football as if it's happening, but it's sort of like, okay, you know, good luck. I hope it happens too. We all hope it happens.
You know, and the Washington thing, and I already regret saying the nickname, it's a slur. That's a slur. That's a
total racial slur.
So I'm not, you know, but then for the last couple of years, I have, you know, when that's come up or even just randomly, I've tried not to say it. And I've talked about how it should be changed. And then, so I want that name to be changed. So how am I portrayed? Well, Bar wants, he probably wants Indians and Braves and Chiefs and that change. And he probably is going to find a way that Patriots and Yankees is somehow insulting. And that's not the case. I just think that this particular name needed to be changed. If the other ones are found offensive, I don't think people should be doing like the tomahawk chop. I went to the Packers-Chiefs game this last season. There was a guy dressed up in, like, cosplay, and he painted his face. It was black. He did blackface as an Indian.
Oof, brutal.
And the guys in the crowd, and I don't know how that's... I don't know how that's acceptable, even like in quote unquote the good old days. But I don't think everything else should be changed. What I find interesting about this one is I've seen the name changes a lot with some of the like the high school around here. Like Oshkosh West, I remember when I was in school, they were the Oshkosh West Indians.
Right. I was there too. I was in that neck of the woods. Yep.
Really, really big deal. And it was very controversial. Well, you can't change this. You can't. It would have been the Indians forever. They changed the Wildcats. And then as like soon as they changed, no one cared. So it was like a huge fight, a huge battle. And then they changed. Everyone's like, yeah, we're the Wildcats. That's fine. And I wonder if that, you know, is going to be the same with this. And I know you're doing some work on that, too.
Yeah, and I've done a lot over the years on high school mascots. And you're right. It is so polarizing in the communities. And like Menominee Falls just voted late last year to change their mascot, and that's a hugely contentious thing. They were the Indians, and they're changing it. I want to say it was in Toma. I feel like maybe that's wrong. One of the schools in Wisconsin, they voted, they changed their mascot, and the community held recall elections and recalled all of the local school board members because they were so upset.
You know what it was, Toma? I don't remember what it was, but I did stories there when I was in lacrosse.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, they changed the Timberwolves, and yeah, it's...
What were they beforehand?
I don't remember. Were they the Chieftains?
Maybe.
I should know this. I should know this. I don't.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I was there, yeah.
But so polarizing. And you know, in a way, I understand. I read a book a while back called Dancing at Halftime by Carol Spindell, and she laid out sort of the sort of history of Native American mascots. She looked at Chief Alinowick at the University of Illinois. And she asks a very good question. I mean, obviously, her thesis is that they need to be changed. They're disrespectful, and there's so many problems with them. And yet, you hear people say, "Well, anything can offend." Like you were saying before, you know, animals don't offend. I know that you could maybe really reach and find a way. A bear killed my ancestors, so bears are offensive. You know, I that really drives me nuts. But she asks this question: how can this be racism? If everybody is standing unified under a single sort of moniker, they feel pride for their school, pride for their community. You know, they're not thinking about Native American representation in that moment. So how is that actual racism? You know, and you can understand why people identify that experience as what they think about when they think about their alma mater, and so they don't want to look back on that experience and feel like, oh, was that racist the whole time? Was I wrong the whole time? You know, people don't want to think that for generations I've been an Indian and now I find out maybe I was naive or wrong or stupid or racist, you know? And so I get why that's a problem. You know, I personally just feel like we should move on past the point where we're trying to represent, racial identities that we don't really know enough about to do accurately, or, you know, have it be a part of our, you know, our recreational experience, when in reality there's you know, maybe three kids of Native American descent in the whole school, and nobody really knows what it's like to be Native American in the modern day. And there's so many problems with it, and it is astonishing to me that Redskins has lasted as long as it has. It's a seemingly very overt, very obvious problem. It literally refers to the color of someone's skin. Like, how much more on the nose can you get? But the resistance to that sort of thing is just astonishing. People do not want to be told that the thing they cheered for is wrong, that their history of cheering or their history of loving something is wrong. And I can understand the conflict there, but you just got to rise above it and understand what's happening.
Go back and watch Peter Pan. There's a song in there, "What Makes the Red Man Red?" And it's because they blush around a cute girl. It's brutal.
That's not great.
That's brutal. You know what I did see? Somebody tweeted last night, my boy Wolfman. He tweeted the Vikings should change their name because that's a culture that used to pillage towns and murder them all and go on to the next one. So I'm not offended by Vikings, but as a total troll in Minnesota, I will be the radio guy here that makes a campaign to have the Vikings change their name. Because I think that'd be funny.
There's going to be a ton of gray area. My alma mater Crusaders is the mascot of Valparaiso University, and there's a movement afoot, and I think a justified one to say, why do you want to be represented by someone who basically went out and killed everybody that wasn't just like them? You know, like the Crusades are sort of rife with all sorts of terrible atrocities, but at the same time, they happened so long ago, you have to wonder, well, what is the statute? You know, like you can understand why people who are upset by statues of Confederate leaders, I mean, that's 200 years ago. There's still some impact in modern day. But, you know, when we're talking centuries ago, like, I don't know, is there a point where, okay, Crusader doesn't mean that anymore. It means something else. Similar like the Marquette Warriors, that was the popular sort of response to that. Warrior doesn't necessarily mean Native American warrior. It can mean a lot of other things. So that's where it gets really dicey. It's the connotation of the word and representation of the image. Like, how do those things work together, and how do you sort of make it so that we acknowledge it's not actually a people that we're representing, it's a concept.
Not to interrupt, but I have to do this real quick. Goal! The Chicago Fire are up 1-0 on Seattle. Live in maybe one of the... This guy made a move in the MLS that's not even worthy for the MLS. I'm actually stunned this goal happened in the MLS. Yeah, he like kicked it behind through his legs. It was very nifty. So live soccer on right now. The Chicago Fire.
Not an American player, I assume. A European player, I'm guessing.
Yeah, he is European. But also, Chicago Fire. There was a Chicago Fire. They're paying homage to that, but they kill a lot of people. They should change their name. JR?
The Chicago Fire was not very deadly.
It wasn't?
No, I don't know exactly, but I really only feel like a small handful of people were killed.
How big was the Peshtigo Fire?
Right. Well, the big thing in Wisconsin is that the Peshtigo Fire killed far more than the Chicago Fire, and everyone in Wisconsin will tell you that, especially those who live in Peshtigo, happening on the same day as the Chicago Fire. And that, to my knowledge, is completely true, that far more people were killed in the Peshtigo Fire.
I feel like when I was in elementary school, we did like 3 months on the Peshtigo Fire, and our whole sixth grade, everything was Egypt for some reason. Everything we did. We made pyramids. We made sarcophaguses or sarcophagi or whatever. It was weird.
I have the exact same experience. Sixth grade was Egypt. There was a whole Egypt unit, the whole
school. But the whole year. Math, science, everything was Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Yeah, I don't know. Third grade, I feel like I got the Wisconsin history course. And that, I feel like I took more away from third grade than I did from sixth grade. I don't know much about Egypt.
Yeah. All right, I think that was enough time to kill. JR, appreciate your time, as I wasted it here for sure. But we do thank you, and I hope to see you in person sometime soon.
Absolutely, Bart. I love wasting time on your airwaves. Call me back anytime. We'll do it again.
JR Radcliffe on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Has your passion outgrown your home? A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935. I say that tongue-in-cheek killing time. It was good to talk to JR. You know, he's insightful. He's knowledgeable. He works with the Journal Sentinel. Hope to provide some laughs along the way. And if you learn a little something by accident, too, you know, that's good as well.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.